Father, I give your name praise and glory and honor. I bless you for being my everything. I thank you right now, God, for being my provision, my leader, my guide, my comforter, my friend, my companion. And today I owe you my prayer. I owe you my worship. Hallelujah. I bless you, God, for being the greatest God in the whole world. I will sing to you in this holy place. I will tell you even in the marketplace. I will pray to you in my secret place. Yeah, for you are my everything. Yeah, I stand and give you glory and praise, for you are my everything. Hallelujah. Come on, stand and take 3 seconds to begin to worship God right now. I don't care where you're standing. I want you to lift up your holy hands and begin to offer a worship, a praise, of appreciation to the Lord for being your everything. Before all mankind, I will continually praise your holy name for the rest of my life. I can stand and testify that none compares to you, for you are El Shaddai. Oh yeah, you are my everything. Father, I give you the praise and the glory and the honor, for you are my everything. Hallelujah. Father, I bless your holy name this day. And God, I will let the whole world know how great you are. What an awesome provider. What an awesome comforter. What an awesome friend. What an awesome God. I just want to testify a second. You are my life. Lord, you're my strength. You're everything to me. Even when I feel like giving up, you're my joy. So divine. Yes, you are. And Lord, you're my peace that surpasses all understanding. When I don't know where I'm going to turn to. Lord, you're my hope in the time of trouble. Coming from somehow, some way you make a way. You're my life, you're my strength. Lord, you're everything to me, and I gotta testify that you are my joy. When I feel like crying, when I feel like giving up, when I feel like throwing in the towel, you're my peace. Well, the devil thought he was gonna take my mind. For the trial of this life, you step right in on time. You became my hope in the time of trouble. When the gas prices went high, you still made a way. You are my life. You're my strength. Just like you come to see.
right now, Lord, 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 thank you. You are my everything, Lord. You are our everything. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Runner for Christ Ministries Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe is vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own brother, Deacon Eric Reed. Good morning.
Good morning to you all. Good morning. Okay, as she said, we start off with scripture. And as so, for those of you who have your Bibles, we're going to turn to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. And the ones that type quick, you can type up on your iPads and stuff. But we're going to start now. And this Colossians 3, verses 1 through 15 is telling us about living the new life. And as we read the scripture, you'll see why we say living the new life. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share all in his glory. So put to death the sinful, earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now it is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be holy people he loves, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Now at this time, if you bow your heads, we'll do a short prayer and we continue on with our service. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people in this service. Lord, we ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with the word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in the songs, prayers, and preached words so that all those who are lost will be found. And dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Living the new life. That sounds refreshing.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. And just have a great day. We appreciate you.
Thank you. I reciprocate that to you and everyone else.
Okay. Amen. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Old things have passed away. Your love has stayed the same. Your constant faithfulness remains the cornerstone. Things that we thought were dead are real.
Should adore. Amen. I woke up this morning and that was the music that was playing when I went to the place where I meet with the Lord. I love to wake up and give thanks to God early in the morning before anything else. I don't want to start asking him for nothing. I just want to give thanks to him for waking me up and for giving me another day to be in his service, to be in this worship experience, to take every advantage of every time I get to spend worshiping him, walking with him, learning from him, talking to him, laughing with him. Amen? Amen. The Lord wants us to have that kind of relationship with him. I know at first we start out with religion, and we're trying to be everything we can be for God, even though he has already been everything to us. Amen. In the form of Jesus Christ and death, burial, and resurrection, salvation, and everything that comes with it. We try to give him some. All he wants from us is to recognize who he is. And I'm telling you, amen, if this quarantine has been a blessing to me, I've learned some things standing in my backyard and watching God just show me this and show me that. And I know how Adam felt when God brought all that stuff in front of him and asked him to name it. But at the same time, he got a chance to discover it. And I've come to know and understand some things that I never understood or even thought about before because the pace of life was just moving, moving, moving. But now that it's slowed down, you know, that time in the green pastures and that time, you know, in August, we leave in the, you know, Jesus right now got us walking beside still waters at Running for Christ Ministry. But pretty soon that's going to be over with. And he'll be through restoring our souls, and we'll be going back to church, y'all. I'm telling you, our God, our Father, our Lord and Savior is awesome.
Somebody lift your hand as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great, and he's greatly to be praised. Song that says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. His strength where I've been weakened. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say my God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say. If you know he's awesome, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and lift your voice.
Awesome.
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 My God.
My God is awesome.
Come on and testify. Awesome.
Awesome.
If you believe it, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and say it.
Awesome.
My God.
My God is awesome.
Think about it. Savior of the whole world. Giver
of salvation.
By his stripes, I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice.
Celebrate the awesome God.
Amen. Somebody ought to celebrate the awesome God. Amen. Amen. I love waking up in the morning and starting my day like that before all the other stuff starts. Oh, it's going to start in this life. You're going to have trials and tribulations. Amen. But forget about that, because Jesus said, be of good cheer, because I done overcame all of that. And through me, you are more than an overcomer through Christ, amen, who loved us, right? So we don't even have to worry about that. But what we have to make sure is that, you know, the Lord will often call you to do things you don't do, don't know how to do, probably don't even want to do. Amen? So we have to make sure to evaluate and see, is the Lord calling us to do something that we just don't like doing, so we ain't even listening? We ain't even answering? We saying, he couldn't be calling me that because I don't even like that. Amen. We have to make sure that we are withholding nothing from God. Now, you know we are. Amen. Jesus know we holding on to something. Amen. But we need to make sure that, see, because this thing can't happen till that thing get fixed, right? So we got to make sure we ain't withholding nothing.
Amen. Amen. Surrender all to you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have been moved and encouraged, which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own associate pastor, Terrence Tate, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive associate pastor Terrence Tate. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
Shifting the atmosphere.
One more time.
It moves. Good morning, all Blog Talk Radio listeners all around the world. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, we not only get to worship God by singing songs, but we also get to worship God by praying to him and talking to him. So as I'm praying out loud, whatever you need, give it to him and surrender it all to him, because he can handle it. He can handle anything that you have going on. Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to worship you and to praise you by talking to you, Father. You are the God who can meet all of our needs. Father, you said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, Father. Father, some of your people out there, they need spiritual wisdom, Father. I don't know what they need spiritual wisdom for, but you do. Some of your people that are listening to me pray need a physical healing, Father. Father, I don't know what kind of physical healing your people need, but you do, and you always have known. Father, you are an all-knowing God. Father, there is nobody greater than you. There is nobody else that can answer prayer like you, Lord. So we bring all of our needs and we set them at your feet. Father, we pray for the leaders of this country that they will wake up and see and understand that what they're doing to this country is not of your word. It's going against your word, Father. And we pray that the church will start being about your business, Father. Father, I don't know what you have. I don't know what kind of ministry you have the body of Christ on, but I'm so glad to be a part of it. Father, if it wasn't for you, if it wasn't for you dying on the cross and loving us, we wouldn't be able to be a part of your body of Christ, Father. So we thank you and we praise you for the wisdom that you imparted in us as a collective body. Father, I pray for the minister that's coming. Give him a word to preach so that we can be blessed to be about your business, Father. See, Father, this world is so full of darkness, and you want us as a collective body to fill the world with your light. You want, Father, you want the church to me and my young men. And Father, you said in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Father, we ask that you help us not be ashamed to preach your gospel. Help us stop being ashamed to preach your gospel and to preach the truth. Father, the only way you can fill the world with your love is if we, the church, will wake up and be about your business and not be ashamed of the gospel. Father, you said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, today is the day of salvation. So if there are some people out there who don't know you, Father, I ask that you fill them up with the opportunity to get to know you, because your word says in 2 Peter 3:9 that my people perish for the lack of knowledge. Father, the church has gotten so used to preaching about breakthroughs and blessings that we can't see that you are filling us up with your wisdom and with your word so that we can go out and spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ without being ashamed, Father. Father, I don't know about any other church, but I'm so glad that Run of a Christ is not ashamed to preach the gospel. I ask that you bless all of the Run of a Christ ministry, and I ask that you give them the strength to not be ashamed of the gospel. I ask that you fill them up with your word so that when they walk down the street, people can see you in them. Father, you want us to be humble servants to you. And Father, we are so sorry that we haven't been humble servants to you, because Father, you said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, you said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then you will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. Father, the whole reason why this land, the whole reason why this country isn't being healed by you is because the church hasn't been humble. Father, humble our hearts today to be about you and your business, and not to be about ourselves. Father, your word says in 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing, rejoice evermore. Father, help. Father, we ask that you help us not to stop praying. Help us to be a praying society. Help us to be a praying church and to see your will revealed in this kingdom. Because, Father, this world that we live in is not a home. we're just passing through. And Father, the only way we can get filled up with your word is that we, the church, will read your word. Father, once again, I pray for the preacher that's coming. Father, I ask that you fill him up with your word. Give him the word to say that you want him to say the way you want him to say it. And let no distractions come his way. Give him the power to preach your word the way you want your word to be preached. In Jesus' name I pray right now. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Associate Pastor Terrence Tate, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. I am truly enjoying the service, and I hope you are too. With more to come, I want to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen. All right. Time for the preach word. A message from God. Icing on the cake, the best part. After this selection, the next voice you will hear is Brother Elder Joseph Stevens. Let us prepare to receive Brother Elder Joseph Stevens come in his own way with the word from the Lord. Amen.
I'm nothing without you.
I'm nothing without you.
I'm nothing without you.
I'm nothing without you.
Lord, I'm nothing without you.
I'm nothing without you.
Nothing without you.
Nothing without you.
nothing but a ship without a sailor. Moving aimlessly, tossed to and fro. I'm nothing without you. So breathe through me.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit. I have a lot of static, Gerald. I don't know if it's me or you. Oh, bless your holy name. Father God, I just thank you for the day. Father God, I haven't been able to get on and hear the service. I had hoped to be out of the house, but I'm not, so I had to move to a spot, so hopefully you won't hear the house phone ringing. As you know, we have been preaching about Peter. Good morning, first of all, Pastor O and Sister Sheila, Running for Christ Ministries and Radio Blog Talk. We've been preaching about Paul. And that song fits today. That song really fits today. Father God, we thank you for this privilege and opportunity. Father God, we bless and praise your holy name. Father God, we thank you for another opportunity to preach your holy word. And then, Father God, may this word pierce our hearts and minds. May we renew our hearts and minds to what you have for us to be and do in your kingdom, in your body of Christ, in Jesus' name, amen. 2 Timothy 4:6-7, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. How many of you know Paul did not fight his fight in Christ alone? He did not fight his fight in ministry alone. Previously, we've talked about Ananias, who called him Brother Saul, Barnabas, who encouraged him, Silas, John, Mark, and Timothy, just to name a few. And today, my subject is, I did not make it alone. I did not make it alone. I'm nothing without you, Father. I'm nothing without you, Lord. I'm nothing without you, Holy Spirit. Oh, breathe on me, Lord Jesus. Paul was helped by all the brothers I named. More important, he was led by the Holy Spirit. God has people for us to meet in this walk. Some we will encourage and some will encourage us. Some we will lead to Christ. Others we will witness to about the Holy Spirit. Paul left Athens to go to Corinth. Paul met Aquila and Priscilla, who were tent makers like he was. Paul not only met them, but he lived and worked with them. God will provide. Let me repeat that. God will provide. That's a hallelujah shouting moment right there. When Silas and Timothy joined them, Paul spent all his time preaching to the Jews and Greeks. Some Jews opposed Paul. He shook the dust off his clothes, told them that their blood was on their own heads. And then he continued to preach to the Gentiles. You know, Satan has no new tricks. He used Jews against the way, against Paul's ministry everywhere he went. There was a man named Titus Justus, a Gentile, who lived next door to the synagogue. Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, and his household believed in the Lord, along with many others. So look at God providing a way. Titus Justus lived next door to the synagogue. So the synagogue leader and his family didn't have to go in the synagogue. They could go next door and hear about the Lord. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. Another shouting moment. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. The Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Don't be afraid. Speak out. Don't be silent. I am with you. No one will attack or harm you. This city belongs to me. And Paul stayed there a year and a half preaching. God speaks today, and we need to hear. Let me say that again. God speaks today, and we need to hear. Gallio became governor of Achaia. Paul was accused of teaching people to worship God against the law. Gallio refused to hear their case. He did not take it serious. He threw them out of the courtroom. Did you hear that? He didn't take it serious. He refused to hear their case, and he threw them out the courtroom. God can use anybody. God can use anybody. The Jews got so angry that they attacked Sophonies, the leader of the synagogue, in the courtroom. And again, Gallio paid no attention. Apollos, a Jew, taught with an enthusiastic spirit. He taught with accuracy about Jesus, but he only knew about John's baptism. And after hearing him preach boldly, Priscilla and Aquila pulled him aside and explained the way more accurately to him. Apollos refuted the Jews in public powerfully with scriptures saying Jesus was the Messiah. Paul enters into his third missionary journey. Paul went to Ephesus and found 12 believers. And then he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit? These believers had not even heard about the Holy Spirit. Paul found out they had received the baptism of John. Then he laid hands on them. The Holy Spirit came, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. And Paul went on to preach and minister boldly in that synagogue for 3 months. Again, Jews rejected the message. Paul took the believers that believed and held meetings daily at a lecture hall of Tyrannus for 2 years. God gave Paul power to perform miracles. Handkerchiefs, aprons that barely touched Paul. Let me say that again. Handkerchiefs and aprons that barely touched Paul were used, and people were healed, and evil spirits were cast out. Now, people got happy about their evil spirits being cast out, and a group of Jews that had been going around casting out evil spirits, the seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest. But this time it wouldn't work. Now, Jews back in that time did call on the angels to cast out evil spirits. So maybe that's what they were doing. It didn't say in the scripture. But that's what I had read somewhere else. But this time, they made a cantation and said, I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out. The evil spirit recognized immediately that they didn't know Jesus or Paul. And he said, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? The man leaped on them, overpowered them, and they ran out naked. Can you see that? Can you picture that in your mind? The evil spirit in the man had him jump on them, overpower them, and they ran out naked. The story spread over Ephesus without the internet, Facebook, or any other social media. It spread. And at that same time, Paul had felt compelled by the Spirit to go over to Macedonia and Achaia before going to Jerusalem. But a solemn fear came on the city in the name of the Lord, Jesus, and his name was honored. So those who practiced sorcery brought their incantation books and burned them. The value of the books was several thousand dollars, 50,000 pieces of silver, the King James Version says. I've read somewhere else where they put it up in the millions, but I haven't been able to double check that. So we will say 50,000 pieces of silver, which was several thousand dollars. And Demetrius, a silversmith, who prospered greatly off of making silver shrines to the Greek goddess Artemis. He pulled the men aside that was making things and helping him in this work. And he said that Paul had persuaded many that our gods, with a small g, are not gods at all, which they were not. Artemis would lose influence and prestige around the world. When he told them that, they shouted, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." They were so upset behind this that they, Gaius and Aristarchus, Paul's companions, were dragged out of the amphitheater. The people shouted one thing and some another. They were in almost a riot. The mayor brought calm to this thing. He told them, "You have brought these men here, but they have stolen nothing from the temple, and they have not spoken against our goddess. If Demetrius' craftsmen have a case against them, the courts are in session." Now, that's amazing to me how every time the Jews tried to trap Paul, every time they came up against Paul, God used someone, whether they were part of the way or not, to stop the Jews in their tracks. Told them, "We are in the danger of being charged with rioting by the Roman government." It's amazing that the Jewish leaders, who were supposed to know God, the Jewish leaders that knew the scriptures up to that point in time, the Jewish leaders that connived and put Jesus to death, these same Jewish leaders feared the Romans more than they feared God. My. Paul went on to Greece and stayed there 3 months. Then he went to Troas. And in Troas, Eutychus sat on the window sill, went to sleep, and he fell three stories to his death. Eutychus sat on the window sill, went to sleep, and he fell three stories to his death while Paul was preaching. Paul had been preaching a long time. Paul went down, bent over him, held him in his arms, and said, "He is alive." Another miracle wrought in the arms of Paul through God. Paul, after he told him he was alive, he went back and talked until dawn that next morning, and then he left. Eutychus was taken home unhurt, and everyone was relieved and praised God. Look at God using his word. Look at God confirming things to his believers. Paul went on to meet the Ephesian elders and encourage them. And then Paul purposed in the Spirit and said, "I must go on to Rome." Now, he purposed in the Spirit He didn't. It didn't say he purposed in his spirit. It said he purposed in the spirit and said, I must go on to Rome. But how many know? Paul had to go to Jerusalem before going to Rome. He went on to say, I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. Now, remember, I have kept the faith. Lord Jesus. After being told that by the Holy Spirit, listen to Paul's answer in Acts 20:24, New Living Translation. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. That's a scripture that we all should put to memory. That's a scripture that we should put our name to. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Are we ready to say that? Saying it and doing it is two different things. Paul warned men from their own area that they would distort the truth and to draw people. Paul went on to warn them that men from their own area would distort the truth to draw people. Paul entrusted them to the message and God's grace. You know, Paul traveled to many cities en route to Jerusalem. He went to Caesarea, stayed with Philip the evangelist, who had four unmarried daughters, who also had the gift of prophecy. Let me say that again. Paul went to Caesarea, stayed with Philip the evangelist, who had four unmarried daughters, who also had the gift of prophecy. And we still argue whether God can use women in 2021. My. Agabus arrived with the gift of prophecy, and the news he had for Paul was not good. He took Paul's belt and bound his hands and feet and said, the Holy Spirit declares, so shall the owner of this belt be bound by the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem and turned over to the Gentiles. Did you hear that? The Holy Spirit declares, so shall the owner of this belt be bound by the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem and turned over to the Gentiles. This was God using Paul to get his word out in Jerusalem. But not only was he getting his word, the word out in Jerusalem, the Jewish leaders would be convicted by the word. Well, not convicted, condemned, because they refused to believe it. So they would end up being condemned eventually because they did not accept the word again. Jesus already came with the word. Now Paul is coming with the word, and they're still refusing to believe. Other apostles and disciples had taken the word to various parts, to the Jews, and they failed to believe. Now, Paul stopped and asked them, why were they doing all this weeping and crying? And he made a bold statement. I am ready to be jailed and die for the sake of the Lord Jesus. Who does that sound like? That reminds me of Peter. But the difference was Peter said it on his own. Paul said it in the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. There was a difference. And not only did Peter say it, but all the other apostles that were there at the time said it too. And they all disappeared when Jesus was arrested and when he was crucified. Paul went on and he met James and the other elders in Jerusalem. He reported how God had worked with the Gentile church. Word had spread in Jerusalem that he was teaching against the circumcision and other Jewish and some Jewish traditions, because some of the customs were tradition more than they were of God. Four men were about to complete their vows. Paul joined those men in the purification ceremony. Not only did he join them, but he paid for their heads to be shaved. 1 Corinthians 9:22, the New Living Translation says, "When I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, everything I can to save some." That is powerful. I find common ground, not common sin, but common ground to win the weak to Christ. I find common ground, not common sin, to win the weak to Christ. And that's what we're supposed to do today. Now, we're not supposed to go back in our former things we did or hang out with the former people we did, but we are to lead them to Christ. But we can't come sometimes so holier than thou and even be able to have them start to listen. But we have to find a way to get them to hear the word of God, to let them see the changes in us and allow God to draw them to him. We cannot go in our own power and in our old ways. We have to go and find common ground to win some to Christ. 7 days have passed. And here the Jews come up again. They accuse Paul of preaching against the people, violating the temple, and bringing Gentiles into the temple. The commander of the Roman regiment heard what was going on in Jerusalem. He heard that they were in an uproar, and others said, other translations would say a riot. That commander came. Man, I'm having trouble out with these headphones. I think they're going dead. All right. The Roman commander heard about what was going on in Jerusalem. It was in an uproar or a riot. When he came, they stopped beating Paul on his arrival. He ordered that Paul be arrested and bound with chains. Paul is ready the next day to tell his testimony in Jerusalem. He said, "Brothers and esteemed fathers, listen as I offer my defense. I learned under Gamaliel. I became zealous like you today. I persecuted in the persecution of the church." He went on to talk about his Damascus Road experience with Jesus, and the crowd listened. Then he said, "The Lord said to me to go and preach to the Gentiles." The crowd yelled away with him, "He's not fit to here live. Paul was brought in order to be lashed with whips. And then he asked this question, is it legal to whip a Roman citizen who hasn't been to trial? And the people, the soldiers that was going to whip him asked, are you a Roman citizen? And he said, yes. They hurriedly went back. Commander came in and asked, are you a Roman citizen? And he said, yes. And then the commander muttered, I am too. And it cost me plenty. So he has bought his citizenship. But Paul was born a Roman. Commander was scared because he had ordered Paul to be beaten with whips. Paul goes on the next day to speak to the high council, and he says, brothers, I have always lived before God with a clear conscience. Ananias, the high priest, ordered Paul to be slapped on the mouth. And Paul told him in the New Living Translation, God will slap you, you corrupt hypocrite. In another translation, he called him a whitewashed wall. And those around told Paul, you don't dare talk to the high priest like that. Oh, Lord. Before that was said, though, Paul asked him, how do you break the law by ordering for me to be slapped? Then they said, well, you can't talk to the high priest like that. And Paul did not know he was the high priest. And he said, thou shalt not speak evil of a ruler of thy people. That's something today abused by people and misused by preachers, pastors, bishops, elders, prophets, apostles that are not living right in many instances. And they fall back on scriptures like this to say, you can't judge me. God does not mean for people to be doing anything, everything, and living any kind of way and leading, guiding, and teaching his people. But Paul didn't say nothing else. He knew that there were both Pharisees and Sadducees in that crowd. So he went on to give another part of his testimony. I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, and I am being held here today because of the resurrection. Division broke out among the crowd, and the Pharisees found Paul innocent. Look at God. Acts 23:11. The New Living Translation says, that night the Lord appeared to Paul and said, be encouraged, Paul, just as you have been a witness to me here in Jerusalem. You must preach the good news in Rome as well. 40 men vowed not to eat anything until they had killed Paul. The Message translation for that same verse says, it's going to be all right. Everything is going to turn out for the best. You've been a good witness for me here in Jerusalem. Now you're going to be my witness in Rome. Paul will go on to witness, evangelize, be jailed, and suffer much. God will use Paul in a powerful way in Rome. And look think of some of these names for this message to be continued. The Centurion, Claudius Lysippus, Felix Andrew Silla, Porcius Festus, Agrippa and Bernice. Agrippa and Bernice. Oh, my Lord. God's going to have him witness to many Romans and Gentiles in Rome, just like he did with the other Gentiles, just like he did with those in Jerusalem. So they will be without an excuse when they meet, say they didn't hear the word. There are some people God is waiting for us to witness to. So they will be without an excuse too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, Brother Preacher. Well, let me turn this monitor off, as I always forget. You know, as I was sitting there listening to you go through the word, and, you know, it's so awesome to just hear the word rather than trying to make every word in the Bible about a breakthrough or about a blessing. We know that if we seek the kingdom and righteousness, my wife and I was just talking about that, that the Lord would add to us. She was talking about some reading she had done studying on Solomon and how God gave him the opportunity to ask for anything he want. But what he wanted was his kingdom and his righteousness, that wisdom to rule over God's people, the kingdom and that righteousness. And then God just added to him everything else. And to hear the word like that took me right back to when Jesus was leading me through the birth of the church. And we went through those first 12 chapters, and that was mostly all about Peter and Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. And then when it got to 13, took off for the uttermost parts of the earth. And I felt like I was traveling with Paul as I listened to you going from place to place. And it's amazing. I thank God that he opened up to you how he had help all along the way, whether he knew he had help, knew his help, or his help just showed up. Whatever he needed, it just popped. The last thing you talked about is that citizenship. When he needed it, now his citizenship is helping him. And yes, the Roman centurion paid a big old price to become a Roman. But Paul was born that way. God had prepared him before he needed to have it at this time. I just want to say thank you.
Yes, he did. You know, I thought I was going to get through and be finished with Paul.
You got a ship ride. You got to take us on the cruise.
Lord Jesus. Yeah, I got a whole bunch of stuff, and you got a whole bunch of Romans.
You got some courts to go through. You got to deal with Gallio. You got to deal with Felix and Festus and, you know, you got to deal with 40 folks swearing they're going to kill Paul before they eat again they let the hair grow back. We got a ways to go, but I just want you to know it's exciting to hear a real sermon, the kind of the way Jesus preached it. When he preached the word, and everything else just took care of itself, but he wanted people to know what God said and understand. Go ahead.
I often wonder, what happened to them 40 men that took that vow? Did they give
they
up on that vow? Or did
they went
die?
Back home. They went back home, and their wife say, yeah, you look real stupid with your hair all cut off. I'm going to kill Paul. I ain't going to come. where Paul at? What happened? But, wow, talking about, I don't want to run ahead in your sermon, but talking about help. All the people that God called together to guard his one man against those 40, they didn't stand a chance. And it's the same for us today, because just like the Lord called Paul, he is calling us, and we will not make it alone. God has people already set up to come alongside you and help.
And when we don't believe in the people or trust what the people are saying, or they come to us, God comes back himself. But several times he came and spoke to Paul himself to encourage him and tell him what he had to do.
And Jesus
told him from the very start on the Damascus Road what he would go through. And now
he's living
it and walking through it.
Yes, you're going to speak to the Jews. He did that, and they tried to kill him. You're going to speak to the Gentiles, and they're like, oh, we've been waiting. And then you're going to go before kings. And that's where we're at right now. And amen. And it's just giving us a real biblical, practical example of a man of God, a woman of God, going through it and God having help. It just tells me, especially as a pastor, I've experienced 18 years of great help, so I know he's a helper. Anyway, preacher, this will never end, and I'm looking forward to next month. I wish next month was next week, but anyway, I mean, you know, it's like, you got to wait all the way to next month for your TV show to come back on, and I got my fave set, and I got my record set, and everything. Hold on, preacher. We'll bring you back for a closing word. Where Crystal at? Wish she had that. What's up, Crystal? You should have jumped in and said, Pastor, come on, Pastor. You over the hook. You over the wall.
Nope. I already knew when I was listening to Elder Joe that you was gonna be right there, because I know, you know, how you are about the word, and like you said, it's not always about hearing sermons about breakthroughs and blessings and what God is going to do, like he's some type of genie. And so I felt what you felt when you said the word of God was actually being preached. It's not necessarily that you're going to get something out of it at the end other than just the word of God, the true, real word of God. So I felt the same thing you felt, you know, as he was preaching, because it's not that there isn't any good news in that. You know what I'm saying? The good news is that God was with him the whole way. I mean, what better news is it than that, to know that you can go through this entire life, and
even if nobody
comes alongside you, that God is still going to be there with you. He'll tell you some things that are to come, but he'll always be there with you.
You're
going to
make me preach again.
No. We're not
going to
do that.
I'm finna turn up, Crystal. You over here just lighting up, throwing matches all on the fire. So, Lord have mercy. But when you get the word like that, it fires you.
Black coffee. We got black coffee today. Ain't no extra. It's just your straight up. Black coffee, straight up, your word. Because God, you told us a long time ago, running for Christ, God is not a genie. He's not a, you know, in his word, it is a, if you do this, then I'll do that. But you don't do what you do just to get what God says you can have. You do it because you love him and out of obedience for him. So, you know, Paul, like he said, whether or not Paul knew he had help, whether he knew people were alongside him, I'm sure there were some times where he felt like he was alone, but the Lord was always with him. So, look, I've said it before, and
like,
I'll say it again. If Jesus is all you have, he is all you need. You got everything you need if Jesus is all you got. So,
preacher brought it out. He said Paul was in Corinth, and he was scared to death. Paul said,
of course.
Jesus came to him and said, don't leave. Don't stop talking. Ain't nobody going to kill you. That means that's what was on Paul's mind, because Jesus don't speak out of words. And when, after he got that word from the Lord, he didn't care how many demons was in Corinth.
Yep.
He stayed there. Why? Like the preachers say, he felt his help coming.
That's right.
When Paul knew that Jesus was in on this mission, I know them demons was like, oh, Jesus, why are you telling him that? Now he ain't going to believe nothing we say.
Exactly.
Why you telling him I got you like that? He ain't going to be scared of. But, boy, when them seven sons of Sceva, Elder Stevens, it's all your fault. When them seven sons of Sceva tried to. I love how he brought that out. Them boys, imagine that. Going in the house, they all got their clothes on, right? It's one man in there possessed with a demon.
Yes, that's
and
all
now they all
one
bloody
man.
And naked, running out. They're like,
running
dude,
out the house.
Y'all let one man do y'all like that? And they're like, you go in there.
I'm telling you. And people do not realize the power of demonic spirits and demonic possession. Like, look, if you don't belong
I'm
to God,
you
belong to the devil, period. Like, those of us who are Christians, we'll never be possessed by Satan, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. But when you don't belong to the Lord.
Pastor Terrence just said that.
I'm telling you, when you do not belong to Jesus, you are like a person just standing outside covered in honey hoping not to get eaten up by bears. I mean, there's no protection to you when you are
like
not you
the lion
Lord,
with fake clothes on in the lion's
yes,
den.
Period. So at the end of the day, look, I'm taking my chances on Jesus, period. I'm taking, you know, we don't always understand everything. Everything isn't always clear to us. Everything isn't always explained to us. Paul was fortunate to have the Lord tell him, it's okay, don't worry, I'm with you, don't be afraid, he can keep it moving. But we get that from the Word. So we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit because that's where our help, that's our help. He's our guide. He's the person who walks with us. You know, so it's just, look, I don't even think.
You know, let
really
me say one more thing, and then I'm going to put some quits this fire. But anyway,
yes.
When he got to Agabus, I said, Jesus, he has nothing to talk about Agabus. Agabus came down there with bad news. Agabus didn't come down there with no holy, holy, happy, happy sermon. He said,
hello.
Man, well, this belt finna get jacked, straight jacked. And I love Paul's response. Even though God let him know you finna go through it, he responded with, oh, I done had help for these past three missionary journeys. I'm pretty sure I'm going to have some help for this. And didn't Jesus show up after he got arrested, tried to go to sleep? Jesus said, man, okay, you've been to the Jews, you've been to the Gentiles, now it's time to go hit them. See, Elder Stevenson, I'm through, Chris. I am all the way through.
But ain't that what the Word say? But that's what the Word say. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and remember all that he has already done for you. So ain't that what he did? He, you know, like you said, when the Lord came to him, he already had those anxious thoughts. But then after that, he got that confirmation from the Lord that he was good, and no matter what he went through, the Lord was going to be with him. So that's why we can't be anxious, but we have to pray about everything because God knows our thoughts before we even think them. So if we turn, I think Dr. Tony Evans was what I read before where it said turn all of your worries into prayer. So if every time something crosses your mind and it makes you anxious, it makes the hair stand up on your arms because it's a stressful situation, turn it into a prayer. Before you know it, you'll be praying about everything and won't be worried about nothing. That's how we want to live.
Lord, I'm through, Crystal.
I'm done. And this is the wrong Saturday for this to even happen for Elder Joe to be on here. So now I know. Lord, have mercy. I'm about to read these announcements, and then I'm quitting Running for Christ Ministries. I'm giving my 2 weeks notice on that. Again. Good morning, y'all. Lord, have mercy. It's Saturday. This was the second Saturday. This is the second Saturday in June, right? I think it's June 11th or 12th. I don't know what day it is. I'm all discombobulated. But happy Saturday to all of the Blog Talk Radio listeners, new and old, who tuned in this morning to our awesome Saturday morning worship service. Lord have mercy. We want to say thank you to the pastor of the hour. That's my cardinal, Elder Joe Stevens, for bringing us the awesome word today. You know, we already know that he's always ready to bless us with the word from the Lord. And so we thank him, as always, excuse me, for his faithfulness and his consistency and his obedience to bring the word of God to us. And we pray that those of you who listened today were blessed in some way by what you heard. If you were not blessed by anything you heard, not the song, not the prayer, not the word, we're going to pray for you. Amen. But we know that you were blessed, so we thank God for that. Amen. Running for Christ Ministries, the physical building, which will not be lonely for much longer, is still located at 27085 West Auto Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. Just a couple of reminders that our Bible reading class is held on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. I, Deaconess Crystal, that's me, will be teaching 2 Corinthians chapters 1 through 6. The questions have been emailed, and they are online for you to access, so just go to rfcm.org under Bible classes, and you will find them there. Also, every Tuesday at 4 p.m., Reverend Richard Overall, is on Blog Talk Radio teaching and preaching in his series Training Day. So set yourself a reminder to tune in every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Sunday, tomorrow, okay, so that means today's the 11th, so tomorrow's June the 12th, we will be having our Sunday worship service here on Blog Talk Radio beginning at 9:30 a.m. with our Sunday school with Deacon Charles Tate as our teacher for 2 Corinthians chapter. Wait, hold on. I need to go backwards. Because I feel like I said I was teaching 2 Corinthians as a Bible class. No, I am teaching 2 Chronicles chapter 1 through 6. Not Corinthians. I'm teaching 2 Chronicles chapter 1 through 6. Make sure y'all go to the right book or else y'all will not ask the right questions. I, on Wednesday, am teaching 2 Chronicles, okay? All right? That makes sense. There we go. So, on Sunday, tomorrow, we get y'all tape. Is our teacher for 2 Corinthians chapter 7 for our Sunday school, and we will continue on at 10 a.m., excuse me, for our Sunday worship service with Pastor O, bringing us the word. Amen. So, as a reminder, the fourth Wednesday of every month, beginning at around 10:30 a.m. for setup, all the way to, you know, November, First Fruit Living Ministries, Minister Shelley, Pastor O, and anyone else who wants to join in is out in front of Runner for Christ Ministries, praying with people, rededicating and restoring people back to and back in Christ, giving out Bibles, as well as free lunches. So if you're able to make it out on the fourth Wednesday of every month around 10:30 a.m. to start for setup, please do. Amen? Amen. So, of course, we want to remind everyone that our very own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn will be launching her very own Blog Talk radio show entitled Back to the Family, Focus on the Youth. So Back to the Family will discuss the deteriorating condition of the family today and explore biblical solutions to bring the family back to God's intended purpose for family in the beginning. Amen. So the first show will launch on Saturday, June 19th at 4 p.m. The topic of discussion is the intro, which is Back to the Family. And then the second show will continue on that Sunday, June 20th at 4 p.m. on Father's Day. Okay, so the first show is this coming Saturday, June 19th at 4 p.m. The topic is the intro to Back to the Family. And then the second show is going to continue on Father's Day, which is on Sunday, June 20th at 4 p.m. And the topic of discussion on that day will be celebrating fathers and their importance. Amen. And so we're so excited for this, and we congratulate Kathy on this huge accomplishment and Run for Christ Ministries family. We know what we need to do. Let's be supportive of our sister in Christ and make sure to tune in. Amen. The link to the show is listed on our church website, rfcm.org, excuse me, under Christian Resources. Amen. Amen. We also want to send a big congratulations to our own Malachi Freeman, son of our very beautiful sister in Christ, Keila Freeman, as he graduates from E-Course High School class of 2021 on June the 16th. He will be walking across that stage, and we know that he will go on to do great things, and we are very proud of him. So, again, we say congratulations to Malachi and to Keila because, again, it takes a village. Amen. Amen. So, as a reminder, of course, all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free 24/7, 365. You have access. Just go to rfcm.org, click on Blog Talk Radio. They're all for free. You can download them and make sure to share them with others. Amen. If you want to bless us at Running for Christ Ministries with a free will love offering, if you're a member, you want to pay your tithes or give any additional offerings towards any of our outreach ministries that we support, again, rfcm.org is the place to go. All you need will be there for you. Amen. In addition to this, if you'd like to give a love offering for the preacher for today, Elder Joe Stevens, please go to our church website, rfcm.org. Under tithes and offerings, you'll be able to give, notate who the offering is for, and it will be passed on accordingly. Amen. Amen. So we know that prayer is simply talking to God, and it's essential to bringing heaven down to earth. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, and you are the branches, and if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8 says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Amen. So we have been commanded to seek God in all that we do, and he promised to be with us at all times. Therefore, it's our responsibility to unite as one, excuse me, in the body of Christ, serving in the purpose that God has created for us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so we ask your prayers for those who are sick, shut in. Of course, pray for one another all over the world. And don't forget to pray for yourself, our children, because they're graduating. They're going to be transitioning into either another grade or transitioning into this world or going to college or whatever the case may be. You know, so we always need to keep our kids lifted up in prayer. It's summertime. You have a lot of kids. Once they're out of school, they have a lot of downtime. They start getting into stuff. So just keep our children lifted up in prayer. Of course, our nation, our world, all of our leaders, Pastor Terrence Tate, did an awesome job in altar call today, praying about those things. Please pray for the many missing and exploited who are being trafficked and abused. And, of course, all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world who are persecuted for their belief and their service to the Lord. Special prayers go out to all of our mothers that run for Christ Ministries, Mother Cheryl, Mother Louisa, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Also keep in prayer Reverend Richard Overall, Tyrone Hamilton, and Pastor John Mack. Pray for all those who are spiritually lost and confused, remembering Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem," which is your household today, Judea, which is your community today, Samaria, which is outside of your community to places where you kind of wouldn't normally go outside your comfort zone in today's time, and to the ends of the earth. And those are places where you never thought you'd go, never thought it existed, and even if you did, you're like, I'm not going to be bothered. Well, you know what? They need the word of God, too, and it's our job to spread the good news of our Savior, Jesus Christ, so that no souls are left behind. Amen? So chapter 34, verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Romans chapter 12, verse 15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn." And 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 says, "But let us not mourn as those who have no hope." Revelation 21, verse 4 says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. All these things are gone away forever." So when you're sad or brokenhearted over the loss of a friend or a loved one, or even with the loss that we see, hear, and read about all over the world on a daily basis, we're inundated with it all the time. Whether you're watching the news, reading a paper, or on social media, it's always in our face. And so we should feel some way about that. We should be grieving about those things. You know what I'm saying? And so we need to use these scriptures that I gave you, as well as many others, to give you the strength and encouragement that only the Word of God can give. So with that, we ask that you please continue to keep those who are bereaved and hurting in your thoughts and in your prayers. And we pray God's comfort, healing, love, and peace upon you as always. Amen. So one of the ways God meets our needs for companionship is through the church. When we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we become one not only with him, but with every other believer. The church is called the body of Christ, and one of its purposes is to meet our need for person-to-person connection. A spiritual body works much like a human one. Parts are both independent and interdependent, each needing others in order to function well. To be spiritually and emotionally healthy, we all need support from our brothers and sisters in Christ. In his letter to the Ephesian church, Paul emphasizes Christ-like character qualities that make this possible: humility, gentleness, patience, tolerance, and love. He also admonishes or urges believers to accept one another, and that's Romans chapter 15, verse 7, and to bear each other's burdens, and that's Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. So you see, we're all part of the body of Christ, and we all need each other. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Blessings are not always in the form of money or things. A smile or a kind word goes a long way, and the gift of love is free. So take time out to be a ray of sunshine to someone today, because as Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 and 2 says, "Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so you may have entertained angels without even knowing it." Amen. So happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated this past week or who are celebrating today in this month of June. We always send special love and birthday wishes to our Running for Christ Ministry family. They're going to be turned up all month long because we got a whole bunch of birthdays. So Tyler celebrated on the 4th, Harley celebrating on the 4th, Mother Cheryl celebrating on the 6th, our awesome president, the best president next to President Obama, Sharon Abraham, is celebrating on the 14th. Deacon Well, Eric Reed will be celebrating on the 15th. Alexandria on the 16th. Denia on the 17th. Naomi on the 21st. And Deaconess Demetrius on the 22nd. So, A lot of birthdays, but lots of love going out. So happy birthday to each one of them. Amen. And so your devotional for today, I don't even know if I should read this because I already know. But your devotional for today is On the Run by Pastor Jeff Shreve. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And that's Jonah chapter 1, verse 3. Jonah was called by God to preach to the great and wicked city of Nineveh. It was a clear call, a definite call, and Jonah did not want to do what God called him to do. So he hightailed it in the other direction, on the run from God and his will for Jonah's life. There's lots of Jonahs. Lots of Christians live life like Jonah, on the run from God. These folks know the truth. They know what God wants them to do, but they don't want to do it. They jettison God's agenda and plan for their own agenda and plan. They go on their way instead of his way because they think their way is better and will bring them happiness and satisfaction. Listen, anytime you find yourself on the run from God and his will for your life, you are running from satisfaction, not to satisfaction. So as a pastor, I talk to people each week who have sad stories to share about the misery they have caused themselves by running from God and his clearly revealed will for their lives. Like Jonah, those who flee from the Lord are eventually sorry they did. They find themselves swallowed up by life, or as in Jonah's case, by a great fish. Every single runner ends up the same, broken and bleeding, wishing they could go back in time and undo their rebellion. So it's time to stop running. Are you on the run from that which you know God has called you to do? Does the revealed will of God seem scary and impossible and unpleasant and a bad idea? That is exactly the way it looked to Jonah. But looks can often be deceiving. Remember, God's ways are not our ways. Although you may erroneously think his plan is not good, it is always good and acceptable and perfect. And that's Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Whatever God has called you to do, do it. Don't hesitate, procrastinate, or rationalize away your responsibility to give complete, total, and swift obedience to the King of Kings. The Lord loves you and wants the best for you. You can trust him. So if you're on the run right now, stop. Get your heart right with the Lord and begin moving in the direction he wants for you. God will cleanse you and forgive you for running from him. He is the God of second chances. If you don't believe me, just ask Jonah. Amen. Amen. And those are your announcements. And I quit.
I just opened Elder Stevens' mic. I'm going to let him go first.
Woo!
Yeah.
Don't
got a word for you.
Don't do me too bad. Oh.
Ooh, sister on the run.
Oh, Lord. Oh, my.
Yeah. You and Jonathan. Jonathan was a runner, too.
Oh, Jesus.
June Rogers was a runner.
Ooh, Lord. I don't know if I'm running. I think I'm just staying in place.
Pastor girl.
Yeah.
She knows she wasn't supposed to read that after she allowed you to set her up. And she started preaching. Not only did she preach, she gave a demonstration. That's like being a lady. And expecting a banner to do nothing.
Pastor Barlow would be like, sister, you took a text. You didn't preach.
That did feel kind of preachy, didn't it? That was a little preachy right there. That was a little preachy.
Oh, she did that. She went back and quoted something from Tony Evans.
Lord, yeah.
It's too much.
I just need to go to a church where I don't get all this.
ain't nowhere you can go. You can't even go and stay home and not have peace. You ain't going to have no peace until you stop running.
don't yeah, care Lord, for anything. I'm,
thanks,
I'm positioned
Cheryl.
In place. I'm just in place.
I know. Me and Pastor Gerald said the same thing at one time, too. We just said it in different ways. Amen.
You know, when I was listening to Crystal, when I was listening to Crystal read that, the Lord said, you didn't even know you was running, but you was on the run. I knew my whole family was different than me. I knew that. And and I knew right, and, you know, but I was still like, how can you? I'm this guy. And,
yeah,
you know, now I'm this guy. And so,
yeah.
Yeah. That was a good one, Crystal.
I ran from being a deacon. Then I went on and accepted being a deacon and wrestled with that. And then Reverend Barlow named me as one of the people when he was deciding whether or not he was going to use women at the church to preach, and had us study some books and stuff. So I'm going around encouraging other women, all that. And one day, one that I was encouraging said, you got your gym shoes on. I looked down. I had on dress shoes because I had just come from work. I was at class at Davenport, taking classes at Davenport University. And she said, no, you got your gym shoes on. You running.
No,
I ain't running. I'm not.
You can tell people want to run.
It was about a 2-year window he allowed me to tell, keep saying no. But I had to stop.
I remember.
It wouldn't have been a little while now, so she should be running out of, she don't want to be in that water looking for that table.
I remember Jonathan, and he was on the run. I looked at him one day, and I saw him differently. I saw a light in him, and I said, Lord, is he a preacher? And he said, yeah, but he's on the run. And so I went over to Jonathan, and I asked him, I'm like, are you a preacher? He said something like, man, you been his bro, or either something like that. And he would hurry up with the no, I ain't, the no. And I'm like, well, Jesus, I thought you just said he was. It was the same thing with Sharon Abraham. The Lord said to me, there goes your finance chairperson and the president of the executive board. I'm like, what is the executive board? We didn't even have one. But anyway, he named her that. And when I went up to her, she said, I don't know how to do that. You know what I mean? We get on the run, and sometimes we run far, and sometimes we end up I think she prayed 3 days. I asked everybody to pray 3 days and see what Jesus say. And then she came back and said, what do I have to do? I'm like, I ain't had no idea. So I said, not much. And there you go. And that's how that happened. Mm-hmm. And everybody who ever done anything at Running for Christ, that's what they heard when I came to them, that pray for 3 days and please don't ask me what is your job, because I have no idea. Jesus just told me you can do it. I don't even know how Crystal became announcement person. I don't even know how.
I don't either. I think Twig was getting tired of it, so me and Twig were switching out.
That's right.
That was a setup to get her comfortable in talking. But then
really
she went
was.
To teaching.
See,
no,
did you see it
right.
Turned into a Bible class?
Now she's been teaching and preaching and teaching and preaching and then giving a little encouraging word here and there.
Mm-mm.
No, he's waiting.
Mm-mm. Me and my baby was talking about that on the way to church. Don't even wait on the way to church. Lord have mercy, on the way to take him to work. I said, baby, I don't know how I became a teacher. I said, they want me to preach. I said, I don't know how I'm going to hear me. I'll be talking forever. I'm like, I'll never get to the point. So I don't know if y'all want me to preach, because I will have to talk with no
that's
notes.
All right.
Or I'll have to just
you got to sit through one of her classes. She reminds me of Janice. She don't leave nothing on the table. She take every stone and look under it just to see if something under it. Lord, Kathy do the same thing alone. You should hear him in Bible class, man.
Pastor, you know, what was his name? Daryl Coley had a song, He's Preparing Me.
He's preparing me. You ought to hear him in Bible class. Anyway, that lady is in my ear. She say we got 90 seconds.
All right. Be back. You all continue to be blessed, and you continue to watch out for Crystal, because she might come in there and fall out one day.
Don't be like that, Lord Jesus. I love Cardinal.
Lord, I've been waiting and I'm tired.
Okay, somebody give us a closing prayer, and then I'm going to play a song, and we're going to get on with this Saturday.
Father God, we just thank you for this day. Father God, we thank you for the laughter and the joy. Father God, we thank you for the words that encourages and challenges us. Father God, we just bless and praise your holy name. And then, Father God, for when those times when we are said we wanted to be like Paul, my, Lord, Paul went through a lot, but Paul was committed to you and sold out for Jesus. So, Father God, we continue to bless and praise your holy name. And then, Father God, we pray for the church individually and collectively in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Preacher. We appreciate you and looking forward to the next time.
All right. Well, like Reverend Barlow used to say, some days you wear many hats. I got about three different ones to wear today. So,
time to switch up. All right, Brother Preacher. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you who tuned in, and we pray you got something today. We know you did. You just don't know it yet. But it's going to come out one day why the Lord going to make you know what it was, amen, that you got today. Now, I hope you got this, that all of us are no different than Paul. The Lord says over in Romans chapter 8, he says that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And if you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you got a purpose. Now, if you haven't accepted him, go to our church website. Click on salvation prayer. Take care of that. Amen. But if you have accepted him, then guess what? It's already worked out. If you read to the end of Romans chapter 8, you'll see that nothing can stop you. And we saw with this excellent portrayal of Paul's life, this recalling, this remembering, this looking at it again, his life and all he went through. And every time the devil showed up and he thought he had him, help popped up. And the same God that helped him will help you, will help me, help us. Amen? Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Have a wonderful Saturday. We'll see you on tomorrow morning if the Lord say the same thing. We're going to be talking about new bodies. Jesus was talking to me. We was cracking up. You got to hear it.
Do, yeah. Put a lot of love in your heart. you've got.